You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
The Office for National Statistics collects and publishes statistics related to the UK economy, population and society, from employment figures to migration statistics and much more besides. The ONS is also an RNIB Visibly Better employer. Joining me now are James Evans from the Data Architecture Division and Cowman Blake, Divisional Director of Corporate IT and Services. Welcome in both.
Hello.
Hello, Howard.
Well, James, if we can start with you, tell us a bit about your role with the ONS and what it entails and what kind of tech you're using to get the job done.
Oh, my goodness. So I've had many roles over the years in ONS. I should probably say that I've got life experience of sight loss. So registered blind from birth and went to a school for the blind and the college for the blind in Hereford, the Royal National College. Many of your listeners may well have attended there soon. So I worked in multiple roles over the years. I've worked at a processing centre. So I came in as an AO, processing and calls, and thankfully, I've had a few promotions. Has taken me to working on GDP, international trade, environment, and latterly capability. And tech has been absolutely critical to the successes that I've had. Absolutely could not have achieved anything like I've achieved without it. So at the moment, I've used multiple things over the years. Currently, what I'm using is a kind of curved screen. So that sounds quite basic, but essentially what that does, it allows me, all my vision is in the center. So it allows all the information I need to be focused in the range that I can see it, rather than what I was having to do before was like, you'd think I'm watching a tennis match from left to right. And your listeners will identify with that, I think. The most important tech tool I use at the moment is my iPad. It's iPad Pro, one of the few people in ONS who has them. I work with a lot of data architects and data engineers, Howell. And believe me, if they have an opportunity to draw a diagram, they will do, regardless of what the subject is. So there's a hell of a lot of pictures that I've got to come to terms with. iPad is amazing. I can just take a picture of it and you can do the pinch and enlarge or the three finger tap. Again, your listeners will know all about it and it's amazing. Magnification is fantastic on it. It's also got things like it's voiceover on it, speech to text for when I'm kind of recording things as well. And that's really incredibly valuable when I go into presentations, as I say, with these very clever people who draw a lot of complex diagrams.
And are these bits of kit that you're using in your personal life as well, James? Which way around does it usually go? Did you take familiar items from home and then use them in work, or do you find yourself enjoying bits of kit in work and then replicating your setup maybe at home?
It's an interesting. I would say it's a two way thing. Obviously, I'm not doing the things at home as I'm doing in work. So there's distinctly different challenges. I'm not looking at complex models and diagrams at home, thankfully, but I do in work. So what I find myself doing is liaising with the tech bar, and there's a tech bar that anyone can just walk up to, and that's what Kindwin's in charge of. And I'll kind of, it's very informal, have a chat with them. I'm having difficulty in this particular aspect of my job, and they will then try and find ways around it. So an example of that was last year when Microsoft 365 just put a fix on, and that changed the resolutions ever so slightly on my screen. Now, everyone else in the ONS pretty much didn't notice it, but it's a big difference for me. Big difference like that inch on the screen was a big difference for me. So went round as I'm accustomed to doing now, discussed it with the tech bar, and then they would usually come to sit with me, try and test the resolutions on the screen to get it absolutely right. And that's how we came up with the solution of a curved screen to centralize everything, which is really useful.
And Kaiman, how do colleagues make their accessibility needs known, I suppose, on day one, when they first start with ONS? How do you make sure that everyone gets what they need to do their best work?
Okay, so what we usually do, Howell, is work closely with IT. So at recruitment, with HR. So at recruitment stage, any sort of adjustments are sort of made known to recruitment. And then we work very hard to fulfill those adjustments so that on day one, the person can be effective and not feel like they've been given something they can't use. That works in the main, but that relies on the person being open and stating what adjustments they need. We can ask the question, but it depends what they say. What we also do is ask maybe what devices they are using at home to see whether or not there's alignment with what we use as our portfolio of devices within the ONS.
And how do you find that conversation goes? Is it more often that your IT department suggests new bits of technology to employees, or do you find that maybe they're coming to you to ask for new bits of kit that they know about?
A bit of both. Again, what we're currently doing is we've introduced two new lighter laptops to our device portfolio, and we're currently configuring those. But what we will do is roll out, and we'll make sure that we have people from the ONS Disability Network as testers, so that we get a good range of testers, a good range of feedback, so that we can sort of maybe even provide different types of devices, but also configure so that it can be used with any sort of assisted technology, for example. Because, you know, if you've got JAWS screen reader or things like that, whilst you can put it on the device, it does need subtle configuration. One size doesn't fit all.
Yeah, of course. James, I mean, you've been with the ONS for 30 years now. How is, you must have seen some incredible changes. How has the accessible technology changed in your time?
Hugely. So whereas before, when I first started, it was basically my accessibility was very printer based, where other people were perhaps reading on screen or printing out A4 paper. I was having to print out kind of A3 paper, large font, and that was perfectly fine. Helped me get done what I needed to get done. As things progressed, the paper office is phased out. I've still got access to a printer, which is great, but now it's very much screen readers, pictures, and voice, and those magnification aids are amazing as well.
Was there one sort of big jump that made a particular difference in your workplace?
I think I'd have to say the iPad. It's amazing because when the portfolio of the ONS changed and they were starting to reduce the number of iPads available, I was really worried that I was going to lose my iPad because I rely on it so much. And I think with the iPad, you almost, if you're a casual user, you almost don't notice the accessibility on there, because it's almost like they've integrated them. Then you can tell they're not an add-on. They've actually been designed with that in mind. So I'll be scrolling or reading some information, and it could be my email or it could be whatever. And if something's particularly small, it's literally one three-finger tap, and it enlarges the old thing. And that is a game changer. Before that, I would have to kind of say, okay, I can't see this properly. I'd have to print it out, bring it back to the desk, get a magnifying glass, come a big magnifying glass, put that on there, read it incredibly slowly. So them supplying me with the iPads has been amazing for me.
Technology changes so rapidly. Kaiman, how does the ONS keep up to date, but also make sure that the tech and the systems that you're using are accessible to all staff?
Okay, so I'm in a lucky position, I suppose, really. So as Deputy Director of the Corporate IT and Services, I am also a sponsor for the ONS Disability Network. And this network is responsible for many improvements and changes across the office, as well as providing support for its members. Again, I'm in the right place to actually promote and advocate for greater accessibility. So when we look at sort of the ever-changing technology landscape, I sort of bring it to the Disability Network and ask for volunteers. I also talk to James about things to see how whether or not he would like to test. And, you know, he's a very good tester. He's very very good at testing things. So, for example, James spoke about his curved screen earlier. I mean, when he was looking at screens, because clearly the screen he had wasn't the best for him, we actually took a number of screens off desks in the office, and my team took it round to James, and he had them 48 hours to just see which was the best. And then once he sort of selected it, we went out and purchased one. So we work together. It's very much a collaboration.
Kaiman, ONS has been working with RNIB on recommendations on making the workplace more accessible. What kind of impact has that had?
It has had a great impact. Very often, staff were unable to read emails and other types of documentation because the font couldn't be used by things like JAWS. ONS has now taken a conscious decision to implement the RNIB recommendation, and all of our Office 365 products in ONS has been changed to use an Arial 12-point font by default. It's not just about the IT. We have implemented smarter workplaces. So I've got another colleague in our Titchfield office who is visually impaired, and he has a desk that rises. So he's able to look very closely at the screen to actually see what he's doing, which you couldn't do from a chair. And the second thing is that we've also invested, and we continue to invest in smarter meeting rooms. So we've got big sort of TV screens on the wall. So James talked about presentations and receiving presentations in advance. They're also projected in most meetings on the big screen, so that anyone with who is visually impaired could sit closer to the screen or see it because it's magnified on the screen. I wondered if that would help as well.
And sometimes, you know, for various reasons, the office has to do, whether it's a structure change or accommodation, and there's office moves. And I think I've been on every floor in this office now, but what ONS will always do is come up to me and say, right, okay, we need to move to this room, James. Where is best for you to sit? And natural light is a big thing for me. It's a lot different from artificial light. So I'll always kind of they'll take me around the room that we're looking to. I look at the various windows, look, you know, figure out when the sun is coming up, when the sun is going down, the kind of things that other people don't think about, and say, look, this would be a really best place for me if I could sit here. That would be incredibly helpful. So as I'm speaking to you now, got a lovely bit of natural light coming in through the window that puts a lot of natural light on the papers I'm looking at. Really helpful. It's little things like that you wouldn't necessarily think about, right?
James, we've talked about it a little bit. How is the data that you need to do your job made accessible? You mentioned, you know, things that are maybe unlabeled. You know, I'm imagining a lot of PDFs and unmarked tables. Are there some challenges there?
Yeah, there are some challenges. So, for example, on a day-to-day basis, people go into, and of course it's virtual now mostly, so you go into your meetings and there's a lot of presentations, and some of those slides are really cluttered and they got a lot of information on them and I can't see them properly. And other people are saying, well, look at that information, there's a spike there or whatever. So you're basically working workarounds, right? So, some time ago I just said, right, from now on I want pre-access to all the slides before they go up. So that gives me time to actually go into the slide, and everyone's got access to them now, not just me, and kind of have a look at the information before I get in the meeting, so I can do the subject of the meeting justice and also myself justice. And I found those kind of fixes as well. Well, when you tend to look at them and you put those little fixes in place for a disabled person, whatever the disability may be, you often find it actually benefits the rest of the working organization as well. So it's not just a kind of, oh, okay, we'll do this for James, and it's a bit of a pain. Other people can actually do it as well. And more recently, we've got Copilot coming in now as well, and we're using that more and more. So whereas before, you'd have this. Some people love writing really, really long emails. Okay, NS, I don't know. You look at it and you think, oh my goodness me, there's a lot of paragraphs here you've got to read. So, you know, we're getting into the stage now where Copilot can summarize that information for you as well. So, and people often don't think about it as an accessibility tool, but it absolutely is. And I think AI going forward is going to absolutely help the disability community to have far more opportunity even than they've got now.
Well, I was going to just ask about AI, James. I wasn't sure whether inside the ONS that is something that's used often. Is it, you know, are you looking into ways that AI can have a positive impact on blind and partially sighted staff members like James, or is there maybe some resistance as well?
No, there's no resistance, quite the opposite, Howell. We partnered with Microsoft probably about a year and a half ago, and we piloted Hendra's Copilot licenses, for example. And so we had some really good feedback, particularly from colleagues who needed accessibility software and had accessibility needs. What we then decided to do was invest in Copilot for every one of our staff. So now we've got over 5,000 licenses and everyone has Copilot on their desktop. So even sort of summarizing, if you are late to go into a meeting, you can sort of get a quick summary of what's happened. As James said, it's invaluable going forward.
James, aside from AI, is there something that you're maybe already thinking about for the future of your role? Is there a piece of hardware or software that would make your work more efficient or maybe just more enjoyable?
I'm going to keep hold of my iPad for as long as I can, and that's really comfortable. Aside from AI, that's a really difficult question. I think AI is where the next benefits are, Howell, to be honest with you. So, for example, we're looking at doing internships for the RNIB at the moment. We're going to be taking on 8 people for three months over the next 12 months. And I think historically, what we've done, understandably, is had a job that's been designed pretty much for fully sighted people and put the adaptations on the end. Kind of what I'm thinking of at the moment is reviewing everything we're doing, seeing that the AI is available now, and going back to square one, you know, is there an opportunity to review why we do things in the job that we currently do? How does AI change things? And it's been really rewarding, because when I'm looking at the jobs process for these interns, we're asking ourselves, you know, how would we design this job for a person who can't see at all? And that's been, obviously, that's going to be beneficial for the interns who come in, but it's been massively beneficial for my team as well, you know, building up that empathy and their own capability to be able to do that.
And I think it's fair to say, James, isn't it, that the colleagues that we are sort of taking on over the next sort of 12 to 18 months, conversations have already started with them on their preferred IT. So that we can make sure that we've got an IT portfolio that they can use.
Absolutely. So we're liaising with the RNIB because it'll primarily be, you know, the RNIB clients who are applying for these things. They're very well versed, obviously, in the kind of software. So we're looking to see if it's possible, however, because 3 months isn't long. We don't want to waste a single day of it. That is there options to have JAWS and Zoom or whatever it is preloaded on their laptops before they're given to the successful candidate to do the work. What we've done as well, we've mocked up the work. Our information and data is confidential, so we've had to mock up both the process and the work, and we've provided RNIB with that, so it gives them a really good indication of what we're going to be asking of the clients and what their clients are going to be getting into for day one. Mm.
Well, lots to look forward to. From the Office for National Statistics, James Evans and Camion Blake, thanks to you both for sharing your experiences and for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.